there that there is a testimony before the Christian experience that we are going to give an account of our life before the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it is Paul who speaks to Christians and says we must all appear before the Bema. Now the Bema was a place of public evaluation. It was a place where a man could have a public hearing. It was a place in which there was recompense and there was reward for deeds that were proper. And so we who belong to Christ shall not come into condemnation. If a man has come to know Jesus Christ, his sins are placed upon that very cross, and they have already been placed there because the atonement is complete. There is going to be a great white throne judgment, and this is in the last chapters of the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and following, and we shall judge the nations. We shall be there with Christ, and the dead in Christ shall be resurrected, and they shall be separated from God eternally, and the dead without Christ shall be separated from God forever, and we who are alive shall come and be there. Now we who right now are living, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 makes us aware that if Christ were to come at this very moment, we who are alive shall meet Jesus in the air, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we shall immediately be raptured with the Lord, and during the 7 years of intense tribulation, during those 7 years of intense tribulation, we shall be at the Bema, and we shall be at the marriage feast of the Lamb. At the end of the 7 years tribulation, which takes place here on earth, we shall return at Armageddon and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I have preached this message many times. I'll preach it again. But I wanted to give an overview for us to understand that as Christians, we have a joy of anticipation. First of all, it is the joy that we're going to be at the marriage feast of the Lamb during the time of tribulation. We are going to rejoice in Christ, for we are His bride, and He is the bridegroom. And the dead in Christ shall rise first at the rapture, and we who are alive shall be transformed, metamorphosized. We shall gain our resurrected body as we are caught up to be with the Lord, and then we shall be at the Bema. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the Bema, before the awareness, and there shall be recompense of the deeds done in the body, according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. Now, then he says in verse 11, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, and we are made manifest unto God. I shared with us last Sunday morning that there is a motivation for Christian experience, as we find verses 14, the motivation of love, verse 17, the new man, verses 19 and 20, the method and the message. But we want to understand that at the Bema there will be rewards granted to Christians. It is quite often said to those of us who believe in the grace of God, and believe in the free grace of God, and believe that when Jesus Christ comes and places His life within us, for it says in the book of 1 John, and I point that passage of Scripture out to you, let me share it with you if you will. Verse 9, chapter 3 of 1 John, no one who is born of God continues the practice of sinning, because Christ's seed abides in him, and he cannot continue the practice of sinning, because he is born of God. A Christian is one in whom Jesus lives in the presence of the Holy Spirit. One comes to know Christ by inviting Christ to come take residence in his body. And so a Christian who is truly born again does not give himself to the practice of sinning. Now, I did say you could be a Baptist and go to hell. I did say you could be a member of this church and go to hell. You can be baptized and go to hell, and many people are church members, but they're not saved. When you're truly born again, the Bible says you have His seed in you, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, 9. Jesus says in the Gospel of John chapter 10, I know my sheep, verse 27 and 28, I give unto them eternal Zoe. Now, when you give eternal Zoe, you don't give half life. I give them into them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. We also understand that not only are we in the hand of Christ, he says further, they are in my Father's hand, and my Father is given to them, and my Father is greater than all. We also know that in the New Testament there are two words for child. One is weos. Paul uses this in Romans about a child being adopted. Therefore we are adopted in Christ, and an adopted child can never legally be separated from those who have adopted him. If you are adopted according to Roman law, let alone the United States law, you can never be disinherited. And then there's another word, technon, which means you are a blood child. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received them, to them gave you the right to become the technon of God." So we are beautifully adopted, weos, and we are beautifully blood-bought technon children. So the security is a magnificent thing. Also, he says to us that we have his seal, which is the Holy Spirit in us. And this word seal is the word which means security bond. Now, that's a beautiful phrase. If you buy a piece of property and you put down $1,000, then the security bond says, all right, if I refuse to buy the property, you keep the $1,000. Now, what is the security bond of your salvation? The Holy Spirit. But what if God refuses to keep you? Then you keep the Holy Spirit. So that means you're doubly safe in Him. He is our seal. He is our bond. Therefore, God in us, if even God reneges, we still have God in us. Now, you can't be any better than that, right? How exciting. So upon this basis, then we have to deal with the fact that there are those Christians truly receiving grace, truly born again by the mercy of God. Now, I can't explain grace. I just preach it. I cannot explain God's mercy. If I could, I'd be God. If I could, I'd probably sell it. We're all human enough. We want to corner on something. But you see, you cannot explain it. But the truth of the matter is, a person can be truly born again, and he can be backslidden, or he can make up his mind he's going to live his own life. Now, you don't have to be an immoral person just to live your own life. You can be a moral person, go to church, tithe, do a few good things now and then, and live for yourself mainly. And so Jesus says in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. And it is possible for us to live our life futilely, doing good things, but not the best, and we will not be fulfilling the greatness which God expects and intends of us in Christ. It is possible for us, however, to willfully go back into sin. Now, the passages that I'll be sharing with you tonight are speaking to Christians. And there are listed here that if we willfully go back into sin, we will not inherit the kingdom. Now, I'll introduce to you the fact, the subject matter of the difference between entering the kingdom and inheriting the kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom? When Christ returns to this earth at the end of the 7 years tribulation and reigns 1,000 years, all that which was intended in Eden shall be accomplished in his reign. And he shall reign authoritatively and autocratically in a theocracy, and he is Lord. And we shall return with him in our resurrected bodies, and there shall be people alive with normal human bodies such as ours. Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years, and we shall inherit the kingdom. Now, you can enter the kingdom, but your inheritance is different. Now, there are many passages of Scripture, but I want you to look at chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, the same passage that deals with the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. If you will, go back to verse 18. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, we need to understand that the Spirit life is His life within us. And when the Spirit life is living within us, and we are allowing the Spirit life to be victorious in us, we don't sin. I want to hasten to say, I didn't say you couldn't sin, didn't say you wouldn't sin, didn't say you never would sin. I just want us to rejoice that when I'm obedient in Christ, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit function through me, and His Spirit is dominating, and He is working in me, it isn't sin. Because many times we Christians go around with a guilt complex, always looking at the flesh. I used to know a lady, bless her heart, she always knew when Satan was around. Boom! She always felt, I feel the presence of the devil. I said, honey, I feel the presence of Jesus. Praise His name. You need to look at one or the other. Sometimes the devil's there. Sometimes you need to be careful. Sometimes there are demonic spirits. But you can emphasize the negative and not magnify the reality that when the Spirit of God is dominating in your life, when you're handling the sin that comes your way, God's way, every day by confessing it and laying it instantly in His hands, that God is working in your life powerfully, and you need to rejoice in that. Somebody ought to say amen. Thank you. Get ready to do it whether I ask for it or not. I don't want these pillows on these pews to get you a little stiff around here, friend. Come on. Now, preaching is a reciprocal response. It's not a lecture. Amen. Keep it up. All right, verse 18, chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, and he names them. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. Well, now don't just stop with those words. You can live on a sensual base. There are some people who live on a sensual base of living. Immorality, impurity, idolatry. There are some people who worship their automobiles, their wives, their husbands, or a piece of property, or their reputation, or their business. Sorcery, this is the same word for pharmaceuticals. It means drug culture. Enmities, strife. Boy, I've been in churches where people gossip and fought all the time. Jealousy, outburst of anger. Boy, you better learn to control your temper. Disputes, dissensions, factions, my group against your group, boo, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, McHenry, strip, things like these, of which I forewarn you just as of these, as I just have forewarned you in the past. Now look what it says. Those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't say you'd go to hell. He's talking to Christians, friends. Now, there are many passages here. I have other things to share tonight. I've preached this before. I'm not going to give you all the other passages, but this is one of them. In other words, I want you to know clearly, straight from the pulpit, that a Christian can make up his mind he's going to be saved, praise God's grace. He is a born-again Christian, but he's going to live like he wants to. It's his life. And the Bible says that when we return with Christ during the millennium, that we will not all be rewarded the same. Now, why are these differences evident? It is because in the millennial kingdom, Jesus did say, you be faithful over one city, I'll make you faithful over many. In the Gospels, he said this. So if I willingly give myself, now look at these, some of these things are nice sins. You know, jealousy, oh, everybody will be a little jealous now and then. Strife, well, everybody has their opinion. Envyings, everybody envies now and then. Factions, dissension, let's get a fight going. Sure, a lot of these things are the halftime activities of the average Baptist church. Notice I never pick on anybody else, always us. Don't take it personally. I just don't see any fun in sitting around talking about some other church. Let's talk about us. And so it is, I can give myself some very nice sins that will cheat me of my inheritance in the kingdom when I return in Christ. Now, where will these differences be delineated? Now, some of you graduated the local high school where they had 800 in the graduating senior class. Now, when the valedictorian stood up and received the diploma, and the salutatorian stood up and received the diploma, you knew that was one and two. But by the time we got around to Sam Snicklefitch and he was 542, we knew he wasn't a winner and he wasn't a part of a Phi Beta Kappa key, right? You got the message. He wasn't on the honor roll. When honors night comes at the Bema, you will be aware of some people who have paid a tremendous price in their Christian life. And we shall rejoice. Just as I said this morning, 276 people made it to the shore out of that little ship. What's heaven going to be like? People shouting and rejoicing. Let me tell you how God was faithful in my life and how God met my need. Heaven will be rejoicing with the testimonies of what God is doing and what He has done. Now, I place these in your hand that there's going to be five major crowns at the Bema. One is a crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, for those who are looking for the return of Christ. I want you to know some people don't care whether Jesus comes or not. But there are those who are looking for the return of Christ. These are listed in this morning's bulletin. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Then there is a crown for those who discipline themselves in obedience to Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 4. This is reiterated in the letters to the churches in Revelation. But it is for those who discipline themselves. Not every Christian's a disciple. Not every Christian is disciplined in their life. I'll be the first one to tell you a little drink of wine won't send you to hell. I'll be the first one to tell you that smoking won't send you to hell. But I'll be the first one to make you aware that the disciplined life will be rewarded. Don't tolerate the unnecessary baggage in your life. And so the testimony is that there are those who are going to receive a crown incorruptible. James 1:12, there's a crown of life. Now, the crown of life is for those who are tempted. I have to admit that some people are tempted worse than I am. There are some people who undergo temptations that I have never tasted of in my life. I have no mental capacity to understand. The Bible says that no man is tempted by God. But if he is tempted and he resists it, the Bible says that he shall be rewarded with a crown of life. And there are some people, and I want to praise the Lord for their capacity to remain true to the faith, and true to the Father, and true to the Lord Jesus. They are overcoming continuous heavy temptation. Sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's of a spiritual, demonic nature. Also, if you follow through in that particular passage, it says, let no man say when he is tempted of God, for God tempteth no man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, and lust when he hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin when it bringeth forth, brings forth death. Let me give you the Greek on that. It always brightens up a few eyes and a few ears. Really what it says in the Greek, very close here, that a man is drawn away when he is enticed and lured away and raped. And then in his raped condition he has conceived sin. And then sin, when it's born, is dead, stillborn. And so the process that he is drawn away of his own lust, and then he is raped, in other words, he is violated by the sin that is even drawing him away, he conceives, and after the long term, it brings forth a death. Well, now you think about your life. How many times have been things you participated that all they did was bring forth continuous death? The word barren in the Scripture does not mean it does not have a blossom on the bloom. It doesn't mean there's no blossom on the tree. It means it comes forth with the green, comes forth with a blossom, looks like you're going to have fruit, it's always got a worm in it. That's barren. Never fruition. There is a fourth crown of glory for those who teach the Word of God, for those who are disciplined in the Word of God, for those who train in the Word of God, for those who are Sunday school teachers, for those who are missionary teachers, for those who are pastors. Never feel sorry for a Sunday school teacher. Never feel sorry for a pastor. Because there is a crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. There's a crown of glory for those who give themselves to teaching the Word, whether it's one-on-one or 1 to 5,000. And then there is a soul winner's crown, and that's where we are here tonight. There's a soul winner's crown, 2 Timothy 4:8, a crown of righteousness. Not everybody gives themselves to winning souls to Christ. Not everybody is committed to it. And so that is where we are tonight, and I want to share with you why many of us never win anybody's Christ. I did it again. Everybody all right? Feel good? We're all together, huh? I'll take that. Thank you. I think I'm tethered again. Oh, what a day that will be when we don't have one of those. May it come soon. All right. Let us look, if you will. And I want to put these down, somebody. All right, I think I'm on. The main reason you and I do not win people to Christ is that we're not walking in the Spirit. I didn't say the Spirit of God's not in you, but we are not living a Spirit-directed life. And we need to learn to discover the Spirit-filled life. And you must discover this life, because most of us live our life never being told about this experience. In 1 Corinthians, the first three chapters, Paul makes a simple statement that he could not minister to them because they were carnal in the Lord. All right. A carnal Christian is a man who is saved. He is one who has received Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 through 3, but he is defeated because he's living in an unconfessed state of circumstance. In other words, he has Christ at the center of his life, but Christ has been removed, put off the throne, and ego is in charge. Now, many people have been truly born again, and they've taken over control of their life. In fact, I want to make you aware that 85 to 90% of all Christians are living in a carnal state most of the time. I'll repeat that. Most Christians are living in a carnal state of defeated life. They are not powerfully spiritual in their walk. Why? Because they're in charge and they're living in unconfessed sin. Now, a natural man is one who's not saved. He's never been born again. He cannot understand the things of God. He has no fear of God. He has no love of God. He's just ignoring God. He's not in charge of anything that's godly. He is in charge of his life. But what is the spiritual man? The spiritual man is the one who is controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, these three personages are present in any given church. Yes, you can have a natural man who joined the church, said it right, but was never born again. The Spirit of God is a miracle. John 3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus said, must I go into my mother's womb, be born all over again? Jesus said, it's like the wind. You must let the Spirit do it unto your life. So you cannot program the Spirit of God. Now, the tragedy for you and me is that God has provided for us an abundant life. And God does not want us to be spiritually defeated. Christ in control of the life, ego in its proper place, is the privilege for us to live as Christians. Now let me share with you what takes place when we are truly a Spirit-directed Christian. God has provided for us that Christ-centered life is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is that we are introducing others to Christ, we are effective in our prayer life, we are understanding the Word of God, we are trusting God, we are obeying God, and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, temperance, all of these are working in our life. Now when you squeeze an orange, what do you get? What's inside? And when you are squeezed or pressured and out of you comes anger, that's what's inside of you. And so when a Christian is not walking in the Spirit, then they are unconfessed and they are carnal. I submit to you, you can be spiritual at 9:05 in the morning, and you can be carnal at 9:06. If you lose your cool, if you lust, if you continue in an unconfessed state, then you remain carnal. Now, how many times have you made decisions in a Baptist committee meeting, carnal as a billy goat? How many times have you sat in church, all been out of shape, unconfessed in your sin, expecting God to do marvelous miracles in the ministry of the preaching of them, praising of His name, and half the congregation is unconfessed in their sin? This is the way it is most of the time. Every time your pastor moves in this congregation on any service, I'm asking God, where are we tonight? Where are we this morning? Where are we? Because I want to be sensitive to where we are. It makes no difference. You could preach the greatest message in the world and it could all be true. But unless the Spirit of God has been able to be unleashed in the people's lives and they are in a confessed state, they will not hear. The power of God cannot work. Conviction cannot come. And if there is no conviction by the Spirit of God, then you might as well pop popcorn and spit BBs. It is a waste of time. So the tragedy is that many times we live in a carnal state. Now what happens? In a carnal state, we are ignorant of God's spiritual heritage for us. Unbelieving, disobedient, loss of our first love for God and His others. Poor prayer life, no desire for Bible study, legalistic attitude. We're impure in our thoughts, full of jealousy, guilt, worry, discouragement, critical spirit, frustration, and also aimless. You may not be doing anything, but the tragedy is that's it. You're not doing anything. Now the point is, Jesus promised the abundant life for all those who were indwelled by His Spirit as a result of being Spirit-controlled. Now it says be filled by the Spirit in the Bible. We are instructed to be led by the Spirit, not to quench the Spirit. We are instructed to be filled with the Spirit, and that word filled means matured. It means totally, ripeningly controlled by the Spirit. Through all Christians, though they are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we're not always controlled by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the source of the overflowing life, John 7. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Christ, and in His last commandment, before His ascension, Jesus promised power in the Holy Spirit. Now it is tragic when you and I avoid this. We are filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God by faith, not by feeling. Then we can experience the abundant and fruitful life because Christ promised it, and we claim it by faith because He promised it. You can appropriate the filling of God, the control of that Spirit who's already in your body. Why? Because you sincerely desire it, and if you will confess your sin. Nature abhors a vacuum. And wherever there is unconfessed sin in my life, then the Holy Spirit cannot function in power. I will repeat that. Wherever there is unconfessed sin in my life, the Holy Spirit cannot function in power. God's command is be controlled, be filled with the Spirit. He said, don't be drunk with wine. If anybody's ever been on a good binge, they know what it is to be controlled by the booze. He said, be controlled by the Spirit. God's promise is He will always answer when I pray. 1 John 1:9 says, if I agree with God, that He will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, how should I appropriate His filling, His cleansing of my life? Dear Father, I need You. I acknowledge that I have been in control of my life, and that as a result, I have sinned against You. Thank You for what You have done and forgiven my sins through Jesus' death on the cross for me. I now invite Christ again to take control of the throne of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit as You commanded me to be filled, and as You promised in Your Word, that Jesus promised, and if I ask in faith, I pray in His name of Jesus that He will do it. As an expression of my faith, I now thank You for taking control of my life. It's not the words You say, it's what You mean inside. How do you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit? If I ask, God said He would. If I know, and if I know that the Spirit will keep His Word, then He keeps His Word. On what authority? The Scripture says in Hebrews 11:6 and Romans 14:22 and 23, the testimony is that God said He would do it, and I will not doubt God. Now, many Christians go around saying, I don't feel good. I don't feel filled by the Spirit. This train operates on facts. The faith is the claiming of it. The feeling is a caboose. You can live without the caboose. You can live without the feeling. It is acting on the power of God. Now, my concern is that tonight we understand and we claim very quickly that it is possible for us as Christians to lose the real joy of the experience of walking with Him. The natural man does not know Christ. Christ is outside the life. Christ is not in control of the life. There is no fear of God, there is no love of God, there is no response to God. Then, in this experience, it is possible for a man to be born again. And all of us must have that time in our life in which we personally ask Christ to come and live in our body. And at that time, ego is not destroyed, but Christ is put on the throne of our life. Then, it is possible at this point for us to experience true spiritual rebirth. But tragically, we enter into this carnal state where we take over control of our life. Now, if you were saved at 14, you experienced this somewhere in your life. It is true that in your life and my life, if someone does not teach us how to walk in the Spirit, we will walk in carnality most of the time. And this is tragic. And most of the church operates, functions, decides, makes decisions, and serves in carnality. It is not what God wants. And it is a roller coaster experience. Now, my friends, I not only need to pray, but I need to pray on the spot. I need to learn that in my experience that I want to be a Spirit-directed Christian. How do I, if 9:05 in the morning I have confessed my sin, I am clean, I have a short sin list, God and I have been keeping short sin lists, I'm fessed up, as I would say, and I'm confessed in Christ, and then at 9:06 I lose my cool. Or 9:06 I lust. 9:06 I become envious. 9:06 I am jealous. 9:06 somebody passes on to me a juicy piece of gossip, and I pass it on to somebody else. Now, if I remain in that unconfessed state, am I lost? No. But I am carnal. I am defeated. I will go through the day making defeated decisions. I will go through the day passing on defeat. It's like breathing bad germs. There are such things as good germs. But the tragedy is in this experience that I am defeated. All right, I want to share with you how you can on the spot. It is called spiritual breathing. One of the greatest joys ever entered my life. I need to just say on the spot, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. I am sorry for my attitude. I disagree with the way I'm thinking. I agree with you, 1 John 1:9, for about the sin in my life, and I ask you now to forgive me. Agree with God concerning your sin, thank Him for the forgiveness of it, and confession involves repentance. Make up your mind, turn from it at that very moment. A change in the attitude of your life. Exhale the sin. Inhale the forgiveness. Appropriate and receive the fullness of God. It is God's command, be filled with the Spirit. It is God's promise that if you and I will agree with Him, that then we can operate in the Spirit of God. Now I want to speak to this just a moment. It is very important for me to make us aware tonight that you may have grown up with the impression that your mama said, now say your prayers before you go to sleep. And all your life you've been taught that you need to be sure that before you go to bed everything's all right between you and God. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. As if the night time is when you're worst. I'm always good while I'm sleeping. I'm always bad when I'm awake. And so if you save up all this sin to the end of the day, you're not only depressed and despondent and discouraged, but you're making all these decisions that are defeating. Plus, you can't be used of the Holy Spirit of God. So we need to learn to pray on the spot, and you don't have to get on your knees and call out a big prayer meeting and halt everybody at work and say, stop, I've got to pray. You learn in God consciousness to agree with Him about the predicament of your life and to change. Exhale the sin, inhale and appropriate His forgiveness, and commit yourself in repentance, and then God is able to use your life. Brother Ed, will you come and share with us at this point?
Praise the Lord that the Holy Spirit just doesn't use adults and young people. The Spirit can use a fourth grader to share Christ with a friend at school. A third grader, we've had young people, children in our junior church that have shared with me, hey, I was able to talk with someone at the park about Jesus. And so God will use you. All of you have probably said in your lifetime, if you've been a Christian very long or for a while, you probably said, I wish I could lead someone to Christ. I wish I could tell somebody about my faith, but I just don't have the guts. I'm afraid. I don't think I can do it. Tonight, many of you perhaps have never had a chance to share with somebody one-on-one. Now this is a little different. We don't do this often, but we have on our table before us many, many tracks. And tonight you're going to have the opportunity to take just a few moments to share one-on-one with somebody. Now, I know what you're thinking this very moment. You're saying, oh boy, can I get out the doors without him seeing me? No, you can't. I've got you in my eyesight. Tonight, this is a learning experience. I had to go through this. Many of you have said, I want to be a soul winner. This is how you're going to do it. This booklet that we have tonight, have you made the wonderful discovery of the Spirit-filled life? This booklet deals more with the Christian that is walking the carnal road. There are some Spanish ones. Bring them back. They snuck them in on me. But this booklet deals mostly with the Christian who is not walking with the Lord. And tonight, you will have the opportunity, even though this deals with the Christian, you can still lead someone to Christ with this. Because when you start talking about the natural man, you're talking about what kind of person? What kind of person are you talking about? A lost person. And so you can deal for 15 minutes just on these three types of people in the world. And you can share with them your testimony. And so tonight, perhaps you're sitting next to someone that's a visitor and you don't know whether or not they're saved. I tell you, by the power of God, tonight, everyone that's in this room is going to hear about Jesus Christ. Whether you're not a Christian or whether you are a Christian. Maybe you're one that's been walking that road of carnality. You've turned God aside in your life. Tonight, someone sitting either next to you or on the other side of the room is going to share with you how you can get your life back together. Perhaps tonight you're unsaved. You've never had a time in your life when you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Tonight, someone will talk to you. they'll share with you how you can come tonight to be born again, as you heard Brother Jim talking about. So, what you need to do, husband, if you feel free to do this with your wife, wife, if you'd like to do this with your husband, then you find somebody. You can move all over this room. You just scatter about. You find somebody that you can get one-on-one right now. We're going to ask you to do this as quietly as possible. We don't want to break the spirit. We don't want to quench the spirit. God is working. After you concluded with your one-on-one, if you just kindly go back to where you're sitting right now and just be in prayer for those that are already sharing the track.
In other words, you share with a person and they will share with you. It is your privilege that every one of us in this room may leave this place tonight a spirit-directed Christian. That may never have happened before in the history of this church in any one service. Do you understand what I'm saying? You simply read this booklet with this individual. The opportunity is for them to pray this prayer. And you then, in reverse, do the same. Don't be embarrassed. This is the most beautiful experience that's possible. Let us share. When you're finished, you simply remain quiet in a spirit of prayer. You know that tonight you said it without a question. You said, I want you to be in charge of me. How beautiful. How beautiful to say to Christ, use me. Yes, use me. Thank you. You see, we can do that every day. Whenever we're out of sorts, when we're out of fellowship, and immediately we exhale that which is disobedience and inhale and appropriate that which is the forgiveness and the cleansing of Jesus. Oh, how marvelous. I don't have to go through the end of the day defeated and the decisions and the actions that are in my life. I can be free. Tonight, is it possible that you've never professed Jesus as your Savior? You've never given Him your life? Why don't you do just that tonight? Why don't you turn your life over to Him? Why don't you profess Him as the Lord? We're going to sing that hymn of His invitation, 347, All to Jesus I Surrender. I truly yield. May we stand, and won't you come? Are you a Bible-believing Christian looking for a place to serve Jesus? You come on. All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Jesus I give Him your life. Come on. Move that letter. Make your decision for Him. Sing your praise to Him. Let Thy Holy Spirit that you have made tonight to be a spirit-controlled Christian is a decision that should be made and kept. You see, we don't have to sin. We do, and we will, and most of you will experience it, but you don't have to. It is human to walk with God and allow His Spirit to live in our bodies and be victorious. It is animal sin. And therefore, when we are appropriating the grace of God and letting the Spirit of God live the life through us, it's victorious. Now, the reason we began here, that if we're not Spirit-controlled, you can't witness. Do you understand that? That's why we're here. That's why we begin with this little booklet. That's why this is the basis of winning people to Christ. Nobody will win anybody to Christ if you're carnal. You'll find up with a thousand excuses of why I don't want to go and why they won't come and all this stuff. But when God is in control of your life, then His Spirit can draw. Elaine and Lonnie, would you come right now? Just a husband and wife sharing a testimony of what Jesus has been doing in their life. Because a part of sharing Christ is sharing your testimony of what Jesus is doing. Listen as these share what Jesus is doing now in their life.
Best one first, right? I didn't know we were going to do this, but I sure don't mind giving my testimony. When George and I were doing this back there, I saw myself a lot in the carnal Christian. I don't know if you could say that, but when we were getting ready for school this summer, I was working like 16 hours a day, and I was finding myself just coming and getting to work and going home and falling into bed and just quickly saying a prayer. And that wasn't doing anything for my prayer life. It wasn't doing anything for my spiritual life. And I had to ask God's forgiveness. And tonight when we were reading this book, I saw several things in the list, in the carnal, the prayer life and the daily of the Bible readings. I try to get to it, but it's just not good enough for the Lord. I had to ask His forgiveness and had to admit that I need to start doing that a lot more each day, putting God first in my life. Like Jim says, I am at my best when I'm asleep. That's the only time I am good. So I do have to start the day off right, asking God to forgive me. I just thank the Lord that He sent us a pastor and a minister of music and a minister of youth that care enough about our church that they'll just keep prodding us on. Sometimes we get lazy, and I just thank the Lord that He sent them to us. Staff meetings aren't dull, as you listen to Richard tell his joke this morning. You know it's not dull. But we have a really love for each other, and I just thank the Lord that He sent them to keep us in the path that we should go. And Lonnie and I have been talking about it. We're going to start visiting a lot more than we have been. We tend to get so busy and wrapped up in our own lives that we tend to forget the others that need our help and our concern. And we do love each and every one of you. And if we tend to get too busy, just sort of prod us along and remind us that we need to get out there and visit and come and see you. And we just ask your forgiveness if we have wronged anyone, because I know that this church is probably the most friendliest church I've ever been to in my whole life. And I just thank the Lord for each one of you. Okay.
Sometimes it's hard for me to find words because I'm not really a gifted speaker, but I know that all of you are my friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love you all. And where I am right now is that Christ is in me. I can say that in all truth and honesty, that God loves me and I love my Lord. And where I am going from here, I will, as she had mentioned, to increase our visitation program as a deacon of this fellowship. I have my families that I will be getting into their homes and getting to know each one of you better. I find as this fellowship grows day by day, week by week, we see new faces, and it's hard to know each one personally by name. Especially for me, I feel sometimes my memory is going bad. I don't know if I'm getting old or anything, but sometimes I can hear a name and 5 minutes later I can forget it. But it's not because I want to, you know, it's just that that's just the way I am, I guess. And I have to deal with that, and I pray that God will allow me to, you know, remember more as I get older. I ask for each of your prayers as, you know, we live our daily lives. And God has blessed us, my wife and I, beyond measure. Sometimes I feel we probably really don't deserve half of what He blesses us with our home and our children. I oftentimes get mad at my kids, but I sure love them And it's a good feeling to know that when they come home sometimes from church or Sunday school, that they'll give us their memory verse and things like this. And this really does me, my heart good to know that they are learning the ways of Jesus. And we plan in the future to continue their Christian education as they grow up. For us personally, my wife and I, to get to know this fellowship much better. And I thank God for each one of you that through your prayers this is possible. And also through our brother Jim and brother Richard, who have helped me along tremendously as the Bible study director of this church, and their patience with me, and I thank them for that.